Hey everyone, welcome to Limitless Radio Cast, episode 112. Chad and I are hanging out with Dan Studer, aka Stu. He is the strength and conditioning coach for the Massillon Tiger football team, as well as their Dena students. He is also the owner and creator of Warpath 55, who has supported our show for a very long time. He gets into a deep story of why Warpath 55 started, so you guys throw your headphones on, sit back, relax, turn that volume up, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, this show is also being brought to you by Global Auto Detailing, located in North Canton, Ohio. They have interior services, exterior detailing services, complete detail services. You can get monthly memberships. You got to check these guys out. They are great at what they do. Warpath 55, located in Massillon, Ohio. Lanky Fight Gear, OldBonesTherapy.com, Thomas Webb of DeHoff Realtors, Candry Law LLC, Magic City Brewing Company, M&H Beans Coffee Company, Ronald E. Butler Tax and Accounting LLC, Limitless Tape. Listen, guys, these are our sponsors, and they help us tremendously each and every week to do this show, so we ask you guys to support them as much as they support us. Now enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Hope all you guys out there are doing well. Take care of yourself. So Chad and I have the great honor. I knew it, Chad. This is how it's gonna work.
Yep. You're out of practice.
I know I am. So we have a great honor to hang out with Dan Studer, aka Stu. We'll call you Stu, right? Dan, is that fine?
That works. Yep, all that's right. What everybody calls me.
Awesome. So Stu is the dean of students at Massillon High School, located in Massillon, Ohio, as well as the strength and conditioning coach for the Massillon Tiger football team. And congratulations, they just won this last fall, 2023, the Ohio High School Division II state championship, the Massillon Tiger football team. It was a great run. Fortunately, I think our connection, Dan, with you is Trox, which you know, yep. He trains with us at East Coast. Dan doesn't train in BJJ yet, but I say yet because I'm sure Trox is in his ear all the time and maybe be on this show. Go ahead.
I did for a short while.
Oh, did you? Yep. Nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome. Okay. I did not know this. Very
absolutely
cool.
Loved it too. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Big Dan, man, for hanging out with us. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And everyone out there, if you don't know and you're listening or you're new to the show, go out there and support Dan's organization called Warpath 55. Chad has a sweatshirt on. I have the wrestling sweatshirt on. They're amazing. Dan has his gear on. It's an amazing thing. And actually, we'll get into the whole background of how that all started and everything. So cool. It'll be good, man.
I had to go upstairs. We had to have a wardrobe change before you came. We had the same shirt on, Terry and I.
The wrestling one's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
nice. There's something about that crew neck, and
I love it. My wife's like, man, it's kind of old school looking, and I was like,
yeah,
I love it. It was funny because Chad's like, dang it, he's like, you have the same one on. I thought you'd wear the green one, and I go, yeah, I thought you would wear the green one, and I would have the gray one.
Yeah, we've been working on a jujitsu design for a while. Oh, we put the apparel designs on. Just kind of on the back burner for a little bit. I've been working on I just released a strength coach course online. So last 3 months I've been grinding on that. So now that we've got that kind of launched and that's doing its own thing. So we're going to get back to putting out some cool gear here quick. So you guys will have another gift coming here soon.
Oh, sweet. All right. Yes. And everyone out there, Dan has supported us for quite a while now, and you know, it's awesome because it's local. We love to have the local feel and to get that information out there to people as much as we possibly can, you know. Spread the good news, man. Spread the word.
Yeah,
and you
I appreciate it too.
Yeah, for sure. Has things calmed down a little bit for you from the fall? And I always ask Trox, and I had opportunity to coach with Mazer, with John.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
He coached you know, Miles. Him and my son are both same age, and they got to play in the same football team, the fourth grade.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So it was nice. I got to learn a lot from John, and I kind of assisted and just listened to whatever he told me to do.
Yeah.
And he's a great guy, you know, like
he's a great guy, knows stuff. And yeah,
he does,
yeah, he's a great guy to have in your corner, especially for youth sports.
Yeah.
But no, things haven't slowed down. It was crazy. It's you know, we played the state finals game in the first week of December, And then we give the kids, you know, the month of December off. The, you know, in Ohio, you give them a month, a you dead month that, is what they call it. Yeah. And, but then, I mean, shoot, you gotta, we had to pick it right back up first week of January. And
nice.
You know, that 4 weeks off, you know, this year, it just, you know, after you win it, it just, you know, you celebrate and you're kind of in a haze and it's very dreamlike for about 2 weeks. And then you're like, especially with me being a strength coach, I mean, you know, I got to be ready to go first week of January. So it was kind of it's always a quick turnaround when you're good.
Right.
But, you know, we've been back at it. We've been training for 3 months and
nice.
You know, we're just now you know, 3 months in is about when you start seeing really start seeing the effects of what you guys have been doing. We actually had a nice test week this week with the kids and they're getting strong. They're getting big. But I'm officially on spring break for about 2 hours now.
I was going to say,
we got done at 5 and we got the kids out. We got all of our tests. It was a great week. Kids are getting really freaking strong, man. We're working hard, paying off, but I need a week off.
You need that break, yeah. Sure. Especially with you working so hard to get that the new strength and conditioning information that's out there for people to get the online courses and to really understand. And I know just from talking to Trox and stuff like that, you guys put you really changed your systems on how training should be done. In a proper way. So go ahead, Dan, speak on that a little bit, because it's different. I know not all schools are doing this. I know you guys implemented things, you know, Mazur told me things during our football season where you guys would have like that recovery day in the middle of the week where you guys really got in the pools and got into other things and stuff like that. And I know a lot of other schools aren't doing that. I have worked with a lot of guys that have kids that play sports, you know, up in the Akron area. And they're like, wow. And I'm like, no, you got to understand this school is on a different level. I mean, they know who Maslin is. I was like, but they do that on purpose because they want to be the best and you have to do that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, just, you know, we've had a strong, I mean, we've been really good since about, I mean, you know, Maslin's always been really good.
But yeah,
we've been exceptionally good since about 2017. I came back in 2018. I was born and raised in Maslin. Played here, and my father was actually the first strength coach for Maslin, which obviously made me want to get into this thing.
Sure.
So my goal was always to get back here and be the strength coach and kind of carry on that family legacy and whatnot. And so I got back in 2018 after being at other schools for about 12 years, owned a private gym too down in the Mansfield area for a while.
Okay.
So when I finally got back, finally kind of earned my, I needed to earn my right to be back and be the guy that, you know, well, you know, you got to get good at your craft, you know, especially before you can get at a place like Maslin. But when I finally came back, we were already getting good. You know, 18 was the first time we played in a state finals game, in a little while. I can't remember when the last time was before that, but the first thing that I noticed when we got there was a 15-week season is really freaking hard to keep kids healthy.
Yeah, it's so hard.
You know, and we went in 18, lost to a really good Hoban team, came back in 19, beat Hoban the semifinals, then lost to DeSalle in the finals that year, came back again in 20, lost to Hoban again in the state finals. That was a COVID year. But then that year, they actually added another week. So we've been, since 20, we've had 16-week seasons. In 21, they added another week. And I'm just – and the whole time, where I'm thinking in my head and I'm talking to our coaches. Our, you know, Trox was our offense coordinator and Mays, co-offense coordinator, defensive guy, our head coach, obviously. And I'm just like, guys, I mean, the number one priority when we have a good team, we got these athletes, is we got to get these guys to the show. I mean, we got to make sure that when we show up week 15 or week 16 for the state finals that we're not limping in, right, which I felt like we kind of were in 18 and 19. Not so much in 20. But so, you know, the last 2 years we've been playing around with that. And I've always always been, the more I learned about strength and conditioning and the more I fine tuned it with our guys and with, you know, different sports and just my personal training and guys that I train, it just seems like if you got a guy, if you got people that work really hard, it's usually less, the less that you do is going to get you to where you want to get. And when people are driven, and you know, I know you guys work with people that are driven. I mean, nobody's doing jujitsu. Nobody's showing up to your gym because somebody's making them do it.
Right.
You get some high school athletes that are doing it because mom and dad are making them do it.
Correct. Yeah.
But nobody's coming to your gym because somebody's making them do it. They're doing it because they want to do that. And you know, they're self-driven guys. And this is, and you know, Trox is kind of the common element that we have. I mean, I had a conversation with him today. He's getting ready to compete, I think, sometime this summer.
Yeah.
And we're always talking about this stuff. And he's the same way. I'm like, hey, listen, man, like adding more at this point probably isn't going to get you where you want to get because you're already training in the morning with me, doing crazy hard workouts and conditioning there. Coming to you guys, and he tells me about your guys' routine that he's doing all the time. You know, he's on the mats endlessly, it seems like, from my perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you got to give yourself time to heal. And when people, especially guys, people that are driven, that tend to overwork, they take the time to recover and to get break and to get and you know, focus on nutrition and get like extra sleep.
Yep.
Like an extra hour of sleep. It's going to take you so far. And I know a lot of people are into stuff like ice baths and I do it, you know, I do ice baths and I do, you know, massage guns and rolling out and doing a ton of stretching. That stuff's important and it's good, but just get another extra hour of sleep and it's going to take you so much farther. So we kind of apply that with football more and more. And this year, I think after we had been to a few state finals games and not perform the way that we wanted to, a lot of our coaches were on board with it. They were like, all right, let's really focus on these kids being fresh. And we did that. We implemented recovery days in the middle of the week. You know, we backed off on a lot of practice time, which, you know, most coaches, when they got a good team, they want to go, go, go.
They just drive them. Yeah.
They just drive them. And, you know, it's, you know, the more we do, the better we're going to be, the more we practice. But there's, it's a fine line that you got to walk.
Sure.
And it goes both ways too. I mean, you can't, obviously you can't not practice.
Right. You can't be lazy and you
can't be lazy.
Right. You got to be accountable.
And I don't, right. And I don't know that we're going to be able to do what we did this year with any team. You know, there's teams that, you just need more practice.
If you're not there, you see that from the athletic ability. When they show up, you're like, all right, we're going to have to fine tune some things. And these kids are going to have to work a little bit harder. Last year, you guys had an amazing, amazing group, both offense and defense, amazing kids from every position.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. Yeah. I got to watch several. So,
yeah. So, you know, when we had a good team, we had a group of kids that could handle it. So, you know, we spent a lot of time, getting in hot tub. We did contrast tubs. We did ice tubs. We did hot tubs, switched them both. We did a lot of foam rolling. We did a lot of stretching. We just did a lot of things. We took away some practice time and spent a lot of time on recovery work. And we still work hard. I mean, you know, we lift all through the season and we lift all the way up to the state finals game and we practice hard. And we have long practices when we practice, but in my opinion, and I think in all of our coaches' opinions, we were the best that we've ever been week 16 in terms of healthy guys and still having some pep in our step and being able to fly around. And we needed it. You know, we won 7-2.
Yeah, it was a great game. It was a hard game. You knew it was going to be like that going into it. So Eds is a great team. They always produce great athletes, you know, in that form. So what I love is like, so there's a transition. Like we're all roughly around the same age. Dan, I call you out. You're in your 40s, right?
Yeah. 43. Yeah. Just turned 43 in November.
You think of old school. You grew up around it. You've been around sports your whole life. Your dad, like the mentality before was to drive, go hard, lift more. And now we're seeing that big transition and we're trying to get it into the young athletes, like to be smart, be coached better in that way. Like, you're a super good athlete, but you're killing yourself because you're going so hard. You think it's going to put you over the edge. And it's like, that's not always a smart Chad talks about it in jujitsu all the time.
Yeah. I just had that. Like, I was off the mats for probably 10 days. I had a, you know, whatever virus is going around. I had the cold, the cough and all that stuff.
Right.
But it really also made me realize how much I do train, and I probably overtrain myself too, you know, because I'm doing jujitsu all the time. I'm teaching classes, I'm doing privates. Now I'm lifting 2 days a week. Yep. So I have to, you know, kick it back a little bit. I'll be 49 this year, and I feel great. I feel great, you know,
you look great
for my age, you know, what's it mean to, you know, people ask you, what do you feel like at 49? I'm like, I feel pretty good. I feel better than I did at 39. Mm-hmm. I know I'm stronger and better at jujitsu than I was 10 years ago. But you got to chill. There's some times where you just got to, like, as much as you want to be at the gym or, you know, lift, sometimes, you know, just take 7 days off. I don't know. I think that's what I'm going to start looking to do. Just, you know, taking an extra vacation. And it sucked. I was sick during that whole time, but it made me realize, like, hey man, you got to chill a little bit, you know?
Yeah. And another thing too, especially with guys like you and like me, you know, you guys that are busy all the time.
Yeah.
You know, running a gym, you got to get your training in. You want to get your lifting in, running a podcast here, and just doing everything that you have to do that people don't know about, with, you know, running a gym, you know, the business side of running a gym. I've been there before and I know how crazy that can get. But what a lot of times guys like us don't factor in is it's not just the training and the coaching and the work, but like all of the stress that comes with all of that stuff.
Yep.
I mean, that's all taxing down your system too. Yep. And even if you're taking a day off from the mats or from the weight room, but you're taking that day off and you're grinding on the business aspect of what we're doing, or, you know, with me, I get home and I got three kids under the age of 11.
Right.
You know, and my wife works full time. So I'm, you know, doing youth sports and doing all this stuff. A day off for me, like, you really need to find legit days off, not days off where you're just doing stuff in the office and you're working on your, like, legit days off where you're watching a movie or you're playing, you know, games with your kids, or you're actually relaxing, because, you know, the central nervous system and your whole body, you know, you can't, it doesn't delineate, it doesn't differentiate between those things, and it just knows that you're going hard. So, you know, it's something to keep in mind too, and I think people usually they don't think about those sort of things.
And I kind of had this light bulb moment too when I was off sick, that, and I was talking to Glenn, who's my personal trainer, and he trains at East Coast with us, and you know, in the past I've had, you know, I don't want to say panic attacks, but I've been anxious about a lot of things, and you get those feelings, right? He's like, listen, your body is constantly doing something. It's constantly in that fight or flight. The cortisol levels are probably through the roof.
Yep.
You got to take some time off, and knock on wood, since I, you know, 10 days, I haven't been anxious at all. So maybe it was just that body reset that I needed, you know?
Yep.
So you don't think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You don't. But you should.
Yeah, you should. 100%.
You need, because you're going to perform better. Yeah. You know, if you take that time off, and like you said, you're never going to be as productive if you're anxious, if you have that constant sense of urgency, which, you know, for us, at times can be beneficial because it drives us to get things done.
Pushes you. Yep.
But if you can't turn it off, which is hard to do, you know, then you're just wearing yourself into the ground, and then inevitably you can never be as productive or as efficient at whatever you're doing, because you're always on high alert. So
that's a huge thing, and I'm glad to see, you know, coaches like yourself, Dan, that are teaching that at a youth. You know, I played sports, and that wasn't something that we taught. It was like, go, you got to grind, man. If you want to be this good, you got to push and push and push. And I took that into my adulthood and everything I did, you know, when I lift and I ran long distance for a long time, and it was like, no days off. Like, you're just going to keep going. And then I never got seriously injured, but I would be run down and I'd just be like, you got to keep going. And then, you know, when the pandemic happened, I got to work from home. So that kind of changed. I still work full time, but I have the opportunity to work from home instead of going to the office, because we have a gym at the office, and I would run and lift every single day that I was in the office. And then I'd come home and spend like 3 hours at the Y on Saturday. And my wife is like, "You're insane. Like, what are you doing?" And I'm like, I have to do this. Like, I just have to. And for no reason. Like, what am I trying to prove to anybody? Like, I was done playing sports or whatever. You know what I mean? Right. But you have to do it. And now I'm like, I do chill out now. Like, I'm like, hey, I'm going to take a night off from the gym. Hey, Chad, I'm not coming in tonight. Or I'll start feeling it. Like, it's like, if I go really hard, I'm like, all right, dude, you got to chill, man. Like, take a day off, literally Netflix and chill, do nothing. I have three kids as well that play sports. Just got home from baseball practice for my youngest son right before we did the show. And it's like, yeah, like even those days, I'm like, my wife, I'm like, can you take care of all this? She's like, yeah, like I got it all. I'm like, sweet. I'm laying on the couch and doing nothing.
And it's harder to do. It's harder to do when you've been doing it since a kid, that you've been a kid. And
you feel like you're going to lose something for whatever reason. There's that little thing in your head. I think this applies to people who have been active in something, jujitsu or athletics at some point or anything in their life, to where they need to push themselves. They go, I'm going to lose. Like my wife is a long distance runner now. She's constantly like, well, if I don't go get that run in, like I'm going to lose time on my mile or as my time, she ran 14 miles today. And I'm like, you're fine. I'm like, you have to understand, you got to take those breaks. Like, trying to break someone's habits, especially, I think it's harder when they're older, you know what I mean? Versus trying to ingrain it into a young athlete or a young child, or, you know, young kid. So I commend you, man, for doing that. Cause I think it's vital. And those kids are going to take that stuff their entire life. They're going to understand more now than they ever did before, of coaches drilling it in them constantly, just hammering them.
Right. Cause
let's be honest, when you're playing at a high level, like you guys at Maslin, it's not negative, but it's being pushed. You got to work hard. You're a good football team. You know, just no one's walking in here and playing. And that's a fact. And that's how it is. That's how it should be. You know, I understand that completely, but I think teaching them, you know, the greatness of being able to do that. And look at professional athletes. They'll tell you same thing.
And they all have similar issues, you know, being able to turn it off and relax. And, you know, we do at least once a week, we have a whole hour meditation class that we put our kids through. You know, sometimes they just fall asleep.
Sure.
You know, other times they sit there and they work on the meditation and that sort of thing. But, and you know, we spend a lot of time doing stretching and yoga type stuff, you know, foam rolling and that sort of thing. But you know, like you said too, I mean, it's when it's time to go, you better be here.
Yeah.
You better be ready to go.
Let's go.
You better put in the work. Yep. And then when it's time to chill out and relax, you know, we do that. It's a conversation that we had with kids today. Hey, you got a week off. There's no lifting. Don't go down to the rec center. Don't go down. You know, you want to go play a game of basketball, or you want to do that's fine. Go ahead. You know, go swimming down at the rec, or, you know, do something like that. Cool. But stay off the weights. Stay off the training. You know, relax. Let yourself recover.
Let those fibers grow back.
Let it get healed up. And then we're going to be better when you get back. You know, you're going to be ready to go. You're going to be ready and wanting to train and feeling good. And then, you know, we'll get back to what we do here in a week. And God knows I need it too. I'm going to Vegas on Monday.
I was
going to
ask you, are you going anywhere?
Nice. me and my wife and a couple of our friends are heading out to Vegas on Monday. So
that's fantastic. It'll be a good getaway, man. It'll be nice and warm. And like you said, you need those breaks, man. You need to get away and forget about everything you're doing. Like, out. I'm done. Like, I'm not doing anything. Like, my brain is not focusing on training or trying to train these kids or anything. Go to Vegas, have a great time, enjoy, then come back and, you know, plug back in and go, all right, it's time to go, boys. Yeah. Let's get after it.
And I'm sure I'm just like you guys too. You go on vacation, and the first two or three days, you're like, all right, you know, and then after about day three or four, your brain starts kicking, and then you're like, all right,
what am I going
to
do?
By the time you come home, you're like, all right, I got to go. I'm ready to get back to work. Yes. I need to get after it. And But that's what you want to be, you know, come back and you want to be excited to get back to work and that sort of stuff. So it's good, but yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. How many seniors you guys have returning this year?
Oh boy. Seniors.
You know,
I couldn't even tell you off the top of my head. I know we have 22, we've got 22 guys that were in, that were either starters or second string.
Okay.
At the end of last season.
Okay.
So we've got a lot of, we got a lot of guys coming back.
So that you still have a good talent
that have coming playing back. Yeah. Experience.
Yeah.
Most of our offense, you know, our quarterback's gone.
Right.
Kind of. I mean, we had two quarterbacks.
I was going to say, you have the younger kid. That's
yeah, our younger guy that will be a senior this year, who was our starter for the two before last year.
Sure.
He tore his thumb all up, had to have surgery after like week five. So he's back. But the starter at the end of the year's graduated, and he was an exceptional player.
He had a different level.
Yeah, he was.
when he got through the line, it was like.
Yeah, when he started running the ball, man.
Is gone.
Yeah, he was dangerous.
He was very
dangerous. He was dangerous. And then we lost one or two offensive linemen, but we got a lot of those guys back.
Good.
Three of the other guys that are coming back, and they're all good. They're all pretty good players.
Good.
Pretty much all of our wide receivers are back. And then on defense, our two middle linebackers are going to be our biggest shoes that we need to fill.
Okay.
Because we had our two linebackers were studs.
They were. Dorian Pringle was
one of the best defensive players we've had in a while. His counterpart, Cody Fair, was also – he's going to Navy, and he's just an amazing kid, great football player. And then I think we lost a corner and a safety. But then the rest of them – And a couple our DNs, which were both really, really good. One kid's going to NC State.
I was
going to
say, I thought the one, I remember Mazur talking about the one.
Chase Bond.
Because we'd talk about the kids, you know, during practice while we were making the young kids run around.
Yeah. But, you know, the D-line, and we got a couple D-linemen back too. And our nose guard's a hell of a stud player. He's coming back. So, and we got some kids that can definitely fill in those spots. So, it's too early to tell, you know, how good we're going to be. But I will say that, you know, where we're at right now, strength wise, and just in the weight room and the times that we're getting on, you know, things like 40s and pro shuttles and things like that are definitely comparable to last year. But you just never really know. You never really know until you get to August.
Until you put those pads on.
Put the pads on. And,
yeah, start getting the hits going.
And you see who wants to hit somebody and who's got that. And then, and also a really important part of it is just how the team meshes. Because every team, every year is different, you know. And when kids get to be seniors, how they're going to react to having that leadership role. And just how they develop as a team throughout the season and throughout camp and things like that. So. We got a shot of being pretty good, so we'll see if we can
get together. You guys will be. I mean, you'll be there. I mean, look, you don't have to say it. I'll say it. And I graduated from Glen Oak many, 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 many years ago, but the program speaks for itself because of the stuff that you guys do, and it's expected. If you're going to play football at Massillon High School in Massillon, Ohio, you're expected to come in. And I think as an athlete, you already know. You kind of come up through the system. You know what it is. You know what it takes. The fan base is obviously awesome and insane at the same time, you know, but, yes. Which is great. Yes. But you know this, Dan. Like they're great fans, but they're all in. You go to Massillon, everyone is all in there. And that I think that helps. It might put more pressure on some of the young athletes maybe than they need at times. But hey, at the end of the day, I also think it's going to build them as better character men as they go on in their life. You know?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. There's a lot of pressure and we got a real high standard.
Right. Exactly.
But you know, we really don't deal with the issues that normal high schools do, especially in terms of like attendance, showing up to workouts and things like that. Like, you know, if you're missing workouts on a consistent basis, you're just not going to make it.
Yeah, it's not going to cut it.
And kids figure that out really quick. Like, hey, if I want to be a part of something special, if I want a shot at doing it, you know, playing for the Tigers, then I got to be here every day. I got to put in the effort. You know, I got to do what coaches is asking us to do, and I got to do it in a manner that's going to help us get better.
Sure.
And, you know, I've been to other places where it's pulling teeth just to get kids to show up.
Yeah.
And we don't have that problem. So,
which is good. I'm glad that you had the opportunity.
Makes my job a little easier.
Right.
When they show up every day.
Yeah. That John has said that before. He'd be like, I would ask him, hey man, how'd practice go today? You know, how the kids doing, you know, so on and so forth. And he's like, I really don't have to do anything. I don't have to say anything. The kids do it. Like, they just do it because they know. And I'm like, but that's the type of coaching you want, because you set that precedent already and you're there to help them, guide them, and to be that, you know, whatever, you know.
And don't let John fool you. He's a hell of a coach, for one. Yeah. I mean, he's a future Hall of Famer at Maslin, I'm sure. But he's on those kids, especially offensive line. That's one of those positions where attention to detail is the difference between, you know, us rushing for 200 yards or us rushing for negative 15. And, you know, I was always impressed watching him coach and how he had that, just attention to detail, and how he could pull out the attention to detail with the kids, how he could get them to, you know, a lot of hard work goes into getting that practice to run as smooth as John had it run.
Sure.
So he might act like it was a piece of cake, and maybe it was for him, but he's just really good at it. So
he's just really good at it. Yeah. It's kind of funny this season, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, you're not going to get fourth graders to, you know, technique block or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're only going to get him so much. I tell you, John had our fourth graders. My son was the starting center, and he still to this day, he's like, Coach Mazur could coach me the rest of my life. And he took it to heart, like what he was teaching him, you know, like left foot step and having the hands proper and all that stuff. And he took it to heart, the right technique. And I said, this is because you're being coached right, bud. I'm like, you're being coached with someone who actually cares about your ability to be good at something. You know, and that's the best coaches, in my opinion. Like, they take all their knowledge and they give it out. They pour it into the athletes because they want the athletes to be the greatest that they possibly can, whether it's on the field or off the field. It's the same. You know, that's one thing I've always respected about the program at Maslin, because, you know, living in Stark County, born and raised here, I know, you know, talking to people and having the opportunity to talk to people like yourself. I've said it already on the show, like, it's a precedent, like it's a standard, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that should be that way. You know, don't just have a team to have it and throw kids together, you know, give them every opportunity to be the best that they possibly can on the field and off the field. And I've commended that from Maslin. I've seen it, and, you know, it proves on the field, you know? So
that's good. Well, I mean, and also, I mean, I think if you want to be good at anything in terms of athletic endeavors, and you're a coach, and you guys know this because, you know, you guys are in athletics and coaching guys up or whatever. But if you don't care about the progress of the people that you're teaching or you're mentoring or you're coaching, they're going to see right through that.
100%.
If you're doing it just to get memberships, Chad,
right,
they're going to know right away, and they're going to go find another gym.
Yeah. Right.
And if my kids don't know that I've got their best interests at heart, if I'm just using them to win a football game or, you know, for clout or whatever, they're going to see right through that right away. They're not going to work for me. And, you know, it's, and you guys know too that, you know, there's nothing more frustrating than seeing somebody that has incredible potential and just squanders it because of laziness or, you know, just a lack of effort or whatever. And, you know, that's the thing that I struggle with daily, if not, you know, weekly or whatever, with my job is, it wears you out.
I was going to say, it does. It's that, you know, you're wearing a ton of weights on your shoulder all the time.
Yeah. And you know, when you're coaching, I mean, you're essentially the guy it's hard to not be the guy that is just pointing out what you're doing wrong all the time. Because when you're coaching, obviously you're fixing, you're correcting things that are going wrong.
And things,
you know, and jiu-jitsu is probably worse than than strength training. I mean, the things that we're doing are pretty much functional movements. We're squatting, we're pulling, we're hinging, we're doing things like that. You know, there's technique involved, but it's, you know, I've done enough jujitsu to know that the technique is endless with what you guys are coaching, you know, and doing. But you know, with my guys, it's like, all right, there's a fine line between calling people out all the time and correcting mistakes all the time and being, you know, being the dickhead all the time.
Right. Exactly. Oh,
man. The discipline and the standard and the, what is required to be successful, to win a state championship or to be good at jiu-jitsu or to, you know, to, you know, go from a white belt to a blue belt or to get that next stripe or whatever. And, you know, you gotta care, and it better mean something, or otherwise you're gonna suck. And also, like, what are you doing? Like, yeah, like exactly. If you don't love the people that you're trying to make better, I don't know. There's just a lot better ways to make money, in my opinion.
Right, right, right. You're 100% right. We live in this new society with social media and all the stuff out there, and you're like, what's that guy doing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, Obviously I try not to watch that stuff. It's like, that's a reel. Just move it on. That person's, you know, doing this or that. And I'm like, pour into them, like teach them. My kids, my daughter, my son both play sports. And my oldest son plays video games, but, they're highly, you know, they love athletics. My youngest is pretty decent athlete. And I speak to him in that same way you're saying now, Dan, like I'll correct him at times, but I'm never like, I'm never being that mean, just like grind it in you. Like I'm trying to educate him as I'm going and plant those seeds to like get you better. You know what I mean? Like, and he respects it all the time. If I don't coach, he's like, well, you don't like the coaches don't talk like you do. And I'm like, you're going to have a ton of coaches that don't talk like I do. Doesn't mean they don't care about you. You're just seeing certain things and you're learning the process. You're only 10 years old, bud. Calm down. I'm like, you have a long way to go, you know, but it's, you know, it is hard sometimes is for a father to sit back too and even see coaches do that to other kids. And I've coached a long time, coached baseball a long time. And it's hard. It's a struggle. Cause I'm like, you're killing that kid. Like you're killing it.
Yeah.
You know, like that kid could be so good and you need to learn to speak to him. And some kids do react good to getting into him, getting into their body.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you got to figure that too out as a coach. And I think great coaches, you know, sometimes it takes a while for it to figure that out.
Yeah. Well, you got to, and you got to develop relationships with your guys.
You have to,
you know, you got to know those kids. I mean, you got to, are those, you know, young men or adults like you guys are training. I mean, if you don't know what's making them tick and you don't know, you know, what they're about or why they're doing what they're doing or what's important to them, and you don't have some sense of where they're coming from, you're not going to know how to coach them, and you're not going to know how to teach them the things that they need to, or how to come across with things. I mean, there's kids that I rip on a daily basis, but those are the ones that typically know that I love them the most, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and it's that fine line, you know, and if you push them away, nobody's going to win. If you're just that prick all the time, which I struggle with, because I can be a prick. I mean, I am a prick. Sure.
But look, I don't retract my statement of saying coaches, but listen, if you're coaching, like you said, there are times you have to be. You have to be, because you got to give – there's accountability.
Right.
Those athletes have to have accountability, and if they're not doing it, I'm going to show you accountability. I'm going to give it to you. You're not going to like it. But I'm going to hug you. I'm gonna tell you I love you. Tell you I'm praying for you and everything else. Yep. And I'm gonna be like, listen, you got this. Like you got to push. Like I'll talk to them even if I'm into them, you know, and have those conversations too. You know,
if they don't know that you don't, unless they know that you love them, then none of it's gonna work.
Correct.
I mean, that's just what it is. If especially with high school boys.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you know, if they think that and they'll see right through you. If they think that that you don't care about them, or you can scream until you pass out. They ain't going to do nothing.
Yeah.
But if they know that you love them and they know that you care about them, because you're spending the time that you need to spend learning about them and having a relationship with them and just enjoy spending time with them, then, you know, that's what makes it work. So,
yeah.
Those,
yeah, for sure. Building that relationship with your guys, like you said, Stu, is the biggest, right? Or knowing when something is wrong with them, like, because like a lot of these guys are, you know, they're alpha athletes and they're not going to tell you they're hurt or something's bothering them, and you got to figure that out. Like, I've had to pull guys out of tournaments. Like my one, this is years ago, one of my guys got knee barred, but he won the match, but I knew his knee was jacked up. He's like, I'm all right, I'll do the next match. And I pulled him out. He wasn't happy about it, but that's a decision I had to make to protect him, you know, because I knew something was wrong.
Yep.
And these guys are tough, man. They don't want to pull out of a match.
Right.
But, you know, that's where we got to look out for their best interest and not, you know, get them hurt more, you know? Yeah.
And it's funny how when you spend enough time with the guys, like I'm sure, like you guys do,
yeah,
and we do too, like, you can tell just by the way they move.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know, like I can tell when my guys walk in the door.
Yeah.
I can tell if they're having a bad day, if they're having a great day, how they're going to be, if I'm going to need to push them right away, if I'm going to need to back away from them right away.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I do that. I mean, I think it's just from seeing them and spending so much time with them.
It's experience, man. Like,
yeah.
Trock said, you know, when he was down in Georgia and coached down in Georgia, and I think he said he washed towels, didn't he? Isn't that what he said, Chad, at one point? Like, he washed towels, like, real early. And he's like, I was the best towel washer. I had to be the best towel washer I was going to be. You know what I mean? That was my job. And I look at it, and I'm like, that's experience. And then you keep building. Stu, you did the same thing, man. Like, you kept building. And it helps. I mean, obviously your father was a huge impact in your life to be where you are now, to do what you're doing now, to have the program of what you just, you know, just published for people out there to really see what this is all about, see what you're all about. I'm sure that helped a ton for you to learn that experience. You've been around this since you were a kid. I mean, come on, you played at Maslin. Your dad was there. You've been around a lot of high-end coaches, a lot of high-end people. You had that opportunity and blessed in order to do that. And this is where you're at now. So it's good on you, man, because you're taking that. You're not squandering it. You're pouring it into other kids. You're giving it to them, you know, like, it's free of charge, man. Like, I'm trying to give you everything I can. And sometimes people don't understand that, you know. It's like, you don't get it, guys. You just don't get it, you know.
No. And it's, you know, it's about purpose.
Right.
You know, it's about finding that thing like you guys have, like I have, you know, what makes you tick? What are you passionate about? And then just, you know, once you find the reason that's going to get you out of bed every morning, throw everything you got at it.
Yep.
You know, and I spent a lot of time. I found my passion early. I was fortunate enough to do that. But I spent a lot of years sucking pretty bad at it, you know, before I got.
We all have.
Kind of decent. You know what I mean? And then I kind of, you know, when I first started off, I thought I knew everything. Then I found out that I didn't know anything.
Knew nothing.
Right. And I'm kind of get to a point where, okay, I know what I'm really good at doing and this works for me. So maybe I can start sharing this with other people. And, but you know, and I know that jiu-jitsu is like that. The more you learn, the more you figure out that you don't know nothing and how much more there is to learn. You know, it just keeps coming and coming and coming. And, you know, that's just life. But that's kind of the beauty of all of it, right? It's just that you just keep figuring it out and keep figuring it out, and hopefully you just keep getting better and keep working, and you got to enjoy the ride.
Yeah,
you
know? And having that's the tenacity to not quit. Don't give up.
Yeah.
You know, no quit. Have that no quit attitude all the time. Like, if you can instill that in as many people as possible, like, that's the thing, you know? Like, Chad's, you know, always like, don't quit, man. Like, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't this, you know? And he's... Even I'll be 47 in May. When I started jiu-jitsu, Chad would be like, not on me hard, but he would be like, get off your knees, Sarah. You can't pass from your knees. You can't do this. And I take it to heart, and I don't take it because I know he's instilling wants me to be good at this. Like, we want every person that walks in that gym that sticks around, we want them to be good at jiu-jitsu. Any athlete I've ever had the opportunity to speak to or coach, I want them to be great. And like, cause I'm all in. I'm an all-in person, you know, like,
And Terry and I have had some pretty serious talks on, you know, like, do I want to keep doing this? Right, Terry? I mean, we've had those tough talks, like, you know, and I'm not, you know, I can't force anybody to do anything, but I'm not going to let you quit either at the same time. That's the thing.
Which, when you have like what, I know Chad loves me. You know what I mean? Like, like you said, like Stu, your athletes know that you love them. So you can have those hard conversations. You can have those uncomfortable conversations. You have good people at your table. You know what I mean? And I think it just makes it better and it puts you in a better platform. It puts you, people seek you out. People want to come to you and say, hey man, teach me, show me what you showed them. Talk to me the way you talk to them, you know, build that relationship and get better at this, you know? So it's good. Is that how Warpath 55 started? Or was it like, give me some of that story? Cause I don't know. I've read about it and I know I've read about a long time ago and stuff. I'm just curious, like what, how you pick this name?
Well, yeah, it's a combination of things, really. It started, well, it really started in 2016, 2017, late 2016, early 2017. We, gets a little bit personal, but we,
you don't have to share it.
It's perfectly fine. I have no problem sharing it at all. But my wife and I had twins in 2016, in September 2016, and they were 24 weeks early. So they were preemies, big time preemies, and they both came out, and they were just, one was about a pound and the other one was just under a pound. So we spent a good 6 months in the NICU. It was a boy and a girl. And then we ended up losing my little boy after about a month, 2 months in. My little girl made it through. She's 7 now, and she's a miracle, really. I mean, she's fully functional. They didn't think she'd ever be able to walk or talk or do anything like that. I mean, she's
running perfectly gun, healthy, just
perfectly
going.
Healthy.
Yeah,
she's
awesome.
Completely, probably clinically insane. In terms of little girls go, I mean, not really, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. She's a fireball.
And everyone, she's probably getting to hang around, so she's getting some of that juice, you know.
right. But I was still coaching football at the time, and they were actually born in the fall. They were actually born right during football season. So I was kind of like coming back. That was when I lived down in Mansfield, which is about in between, our area and Columbus. But I was driving back and forth from Columbus. I was still trying to coach and help out there. And I was having conversations, you know, with our guys as I'm going through. I mean, one of the hardest things I've ever been through in my life, obviously.
For sure. Oh, definitely,
man. And yeah. And so I'm living at a Ronald McDonald house and I'm driving back for practice. And then I'm going back down to be with my little girl, my little boy. And I'm sitting in the NICU. And I don't know if you guys have ever been into the prenatal ward of a hospital, which is just
Chad insane. Actually has twin boys.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Were they a little bit early too?
They were 6 weeks early and then in the NICU for 4 weeks or something.
Okay.
I can't remember, but
enough to know what's going on down there.
It's intense.
It's intense. You know, they got the buzzers going crazy anytime. Yeah. And we had a hell of a time. I mean, my two kids were getting resuscitated probably once every 3 or 4 hours. The nurses were coming in and bringing them back. It was a brutal time. But the Warpath kind of started in that when I came back and I'm talking to the guys and I'm like, hey guys, listen, like, it's a game. We're playing football. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's not really that serious. But what we're teaching you right now, you know, how we train, how we practice, how you compete, how you fight for the things that are important to you, this is going to transfer over into life. Because if you think that everything's all, you know, sunshine and roses and, you know, things like that, if you think life is that way and you don't prepare yourself, if you don't get on the warpath to be ready for adversity when you're going to find it, because it's going to find you inevitably. It's going to find you.
Yeah.
And if you're not training for it, if you're not on the warpath, if you're not preparing for a war at some point in time, then it's just going to break you. And, you know, I kind of took that and I built on it. You know, that was my last year, my old school before I came back.
Okay.
And then we moved back here, and that message, we have a retreat that we do with our kids right at the end of our camp right before our first scrimmages, where we bring all of our kids in. We have practice and all that sort of stuff, but then we have meetings for a week straight after, and we keep the kids there from like 8 a.m. to like 9:30 at night. And we just meet on every topic that you could think about, like how kids should handle social media, how kids should handle, you know, dealing with girls and dating and drugs and alcohol and things like that during, you know, just things that young men probably aren't getting told how to handle. We handle it. And then I have a speech that first year that I was back, I had a speech about, you know, and what do you want to talk about? And I said, well, I want to talk about this. And then we're going to call it the Warpath. And it, you know, the kids really gravitated to it. And I kind of told my story about my kids and some of the other things that happened. I lost my dad at a fairly young age as well. And took all that in. And then, you know, the first year that we did it, I had 4 or 5 kids, you know, when I was done talking, say, hey, I got something I want to say too. And they came up and they say, hey, you know, my dad abused me and this happened, or my mom's an alcoholic, and these kids just start telling everybody, you know, their problems and what they're going through. And just the Warpath just resonated with all of them, because a lot of our kids knew, yeah, you're right, Stu, life ain't just sunshine and rainbows. Right.
It's not. Yeah.
And you have to prepare for it. So they gravitated towards it. And then, you know, I was looking for a way to kind of raise some more money for the weight room. So we started making t-shirts. I've always been into art. I draw all of our designs and stuff like that. And so I was like, all right, let's start putting some t-shirts out and we'll sell it and we'll take some of the money and put it towards our weight room, to a program. So that's kind of how it took off. And, you know, I just kind of been running with it, with the strength thing and things like that. And nice. I enjoy it. So that's
kind of a huge testament, man. I mean, it should be a mandatory, like, in my opinion. I'm big on that stuff now. You know, I was shy. I shied away from that kind of stuff, like expressing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I grew up rough and stuff, so I never really shared that stuff. And I think I never had people that were like that, like that stood up in front of me and gave stories about that kind of stuff. And like, you know, in our era of growing up, it wasn't manly to ever say anything. Yeah. It was like ego, testosterone, work hard, grind. You don't cry. Mm-hmm. This is what you do, you know? And so like to hear that, I love it, because I think everyone should actually have that opportunity, especially young athletes, because there's so much pressure on them already and they feel pressure on themselves, you know, and be able to express things. Like they have we all have a ton of stuff going on in our life.
Right. Yeah. Everybody does.
Yeah. And adversity sucks. It is the worst thing, you know, if you're not prepared for it, like you said, Stu, it'll kill you. It'll eat you alive, man. And then you don't know how to react to it, you know? And then if you've never heard anyone talk about it, or if you haven't had good people around you speaking about it, you know, it's just, man, good on you, man. That's like a huge thing. What a way to start something, out of something that was extremely adversity for yourself, and to blossom something that is going to impact people forever. I've spoken on a show before. I'm like, if I walk away, people are like, why would you do a podcast? Like, what are you guys trying to be, you know, rich and famous? I'm like, no, the way I look at it is, if I have every show, if I can say one thing that plants one seed in a person listening and they can walk away and maybe they come back to it, it changes their life or it helps them that day, then my goal is achieved. That's all I care about. I don't care about anything else, because I'm good, man. I'm blessed. I've had rough life, but you know what? I have a really good life too. And that's really cool, man. I love it. That even makes me love Warpath 55 more now.
I appreciate it. But yeah, I mean, it's true. And it's, you know, and I was the same way as you. Like I never, you know, my dad wasn't a guy that would really openly talk about the, you know, his problems. And you know, my grandfather, the men that I grew up with, that I, you know, great just didn't men
do it. Yeah,
just didn't do that,
right?
And I never really did it either, to be honest with you, until that happened, until I really faced something that, you know, I was kind of forced to talk about, you know, when we had the kids. Like I said, it was the middle of football season, so I was kind of forced to tell my guys, like, hey, I'm not going to be at practice today. This is what's going on. Yeah. And this is why. You know, and then when I came back to Maslin, and I was just kind of telling my story, and I just saw how it impacted my guys. Like, they instantly, you know, I was new. That was the first year that I had come back, and the guys didn't really know me. I hadn't developed a relationship yet, but when I kind of opened up to them, I mean, there was instant relationship there. There was instant. I know something about him that nobody else knows.
Yeah.
And I know something about him that hurts him, that I know that he went through something. And then they talked. Okay, well, now I know something about you too. And when you share that adversity, you know, it makes a bond.
It does.
And then, you know, you're connected. So we're doing this thing together. So they're going to work a little bit harder, and they're going to push themselves a little bit more. And then they start to, you know, the other thing that I tell our kids, and that, you know, you're talking about the things that, you know, you've been through some things that were tough.
Sure.
But like, when I think back on it now, you know, with, you know, even though I don't wish anybody to ever lose a child, and, you know, same thing with my father, you know, I lost him at a young age. I don't wish anybody to wish that on anybody. I said, but those, when I look back at those things and those hard adversities that I faced and that I made it through, like, there's no way that I'm where I'm at today if I didn't look that in the face and deal with it. And a lot of times the worst things that happened to me are the best things that ever happened to me, because sure, they shaped me into the person that I am. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that I tell my guys, like, hey, man, I know you're going through something right now, and I know it's tough, and I know it's difficult, but you just got to keep fighting. Like you said before, you can't ever quit. And then when you get through it on the other side, you know, this is going to transform you into something. You're going to be bigger. You're going to be stronger. You're going to be better. You're going to be, this is going to mold you into something that's a little bit less breakable. It's a little bit more tougher.
Yep.
And then that's the stuff that gets us through, man. That's the stuff that allows us to do incredible things.
It does, for sure. It's like doing jiu-jitsu. Like, you go through a ton of adversity because you suck, right, Chad? Chad, yes, can hear you. So if you guys are watching on YouTube, Chad's camera went out.
Yeah, my camera. You can hear me, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what's up with my camera. Just pause it and won't switch. But
you know, Chad, you know this. Like, it's super. And Stu, you know this too. Like, being on the mats, like, you're getting choked. You're getting your joints manipulated. It's hard. Sometimes the hardest part's walking through the door, because you know you're going to get beat up. And, yep, you know, and you're suck. Still, it's going to suck.
It sucks, man.
You know, it sucks. You're just like, I am so bad at this. And this kid just kicked my butt. And, like, you know, my ego's crushed, and my, you know, my, I'm strong. And it's, well, I'm really not that strong, because that guy just destroyed me, you know. And, like,
yep,
that's the one thing I love about jiu-jitsu, because it keeps you in that adversity moment. It builds you constantly on every single day you're on the mat, good days and bad days. I've talked about on the show,
absolutely,
driving home without the music on, joking, you know, but it's like, no, it's true. I went home and I was like, damn,
that's real.
Text Chad, that's real. Like, I have that real feeling, you know, like, this sucks, you know, but then it makes me want to go back. And, yep, you know, I want that, because I'm like, you know what? You're just gonna keep fighting. Just keep fighting through it, because this is what we do in life. And if you want to be great at life, let's be quite honest, don't think everything is rainbows and, you know, people, I'm very real with my kids, and sometimes, you know, I don't curse or anything like that to them or whatever, but they're like, wow, you're really just honest with them. Like, you just speak about life, things that are going on or stuff that's happening in the real world and whatever. And I'm like, because that's real. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it for them to try to hide them. And then they get smacked in the face later on by some real hard reality. I'm giving them small little doses of things, of adversity, to slowly build them up. Because let's be honest, man, the world is a really hard place.
It's pretty tough.
It's really brutal. Tough. You know, it ain't, it is not nice. It's not nice. Yeah, to you,
it'll leave you in the gutter if you let it.
It will, for sure, man. So what'd you walk away from jiu-jitsu for?
Well, it was moving back here.
Oh,
yeah. So when I was in it, I probably did it for, I would say it was probably about 9 months in, you know, I was still a very, very white belt.
Sure.
You know, but, I loved it. It was great. And then, you know, just moving, you know, obviously I wouldn't go to that gym anymore, and then came back here, and the the time requirements at Maslin are vastly different than the time requirements where I was previously.
Before.
sure. And also it was also at the same time where we had the kids.
Sure.
So I added another kid in. And then we got back here, and then my oldest one started playing sports, and it just got away from me. The plan as of now is I've got two or three more years until my son gets, which he might be starting up some jiu-jitsu here soon because he's really into wrestling.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And I was a wrestler when I was young too, and I instantly saw the benefits of being a wrestler in jiu-jitsu. Yes. And I instantly realized like jiu-jitsu would be really good for a kid that's a wrestler. I think they would go like they would complement each other so incredibly well.
Yeah.
So he's getting to a point where he's getting old. He's 11 right now. So I'm thinking that might be something that he can get into, which would definitely give me an opportunity to slowly start easing myself back into it. It's definitely something that I miss doing. I mean, I loved it. I loved being there.
The wrestling kind of sets that up too. Like that, I wrestled. So I got those questions right away when I started. They were like, I'm like, yeah, like 30 years ago, but
right.
You know, but right. I'm like, but the base was still there. That same mentality, like, Chad used to be like, dude, you lead with your head all the time. I had marks on my face all the time.
Sure.
I'm like,
yeah, I was the same way.
Wrestling mentality, man. Like, get in there. I got choked a lot that way.
Me like, too.
Oh, you're like, allowed to do that.
shooting on guys. Yep. Look, man, there's that big old neck for you.
Yep.
Break on that for a minute.
No good. Yeah. But it's still great because it's kind of like it does. You do get to have that feeling coming back to it, you know, mm-hmm. being older and you're like, all right, I can still get after it. I still got some wrestling. Ooh, like right. That's kind of like a wrestling move. How can I use this as jiu-jitsu? You know what I mean? Like, right. How can I really right. tweak that and then turn it into a submission? That's kind of fun too.
Yeah, right.
So that's cool. Yeah. Well, I hope, man, that you get an opportunity to come back. I mean, obviously, you know where Trox is and, you know, mm-hmm. Chad and I.
Yeah. I was one that got him into jiu-jitsu, by the way.
Did you nice. Really? Yep. I did not know this.
Yeah. Oh. I was the one telling him you should try it. He was like, oh, I've been, you know, thinking about it. And I don't know if he heard it on Jocko or something. And he was probably. Asking me about it. And I was like, bro, I'm telling you, go do it because you're going to absolutely love it. And he's like, oh, you think I should do it? I'm like, hell yeah, man. If you got the time. And I think is his son still coming? I thought one or both were.
They both did for a while, but
right.
the one that wrestles might start coming back now.
I'm assuming that he will. Especially yeah. now that he's seen some pretty good success. I mean, he has to see the correlation.
Yeah.
You know, his first year of wrestling this year, from what Trox is telling me, went incredibly well.
I mean, he did really good.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, for first year wrestling in high wrestling. School, mm-hmm. I mean, that's legit. And I know that he has to see the correlation between the two. And I'm just like, my kid's been wrestling for about 3 years now, and I'm like, all right, this is a good supplement for that because I don't want him to do wrestling all year. I mean, he plays football too, but
sure, yeah.
At that young age, I don't want him to be wrestle, you know, football, wrestle, and even though they're so similar, I just like the idea of having something that's similar that's a little bit different, just because it. The body learns so much at that age, mm-hmm. just the more different movements that you can do and things like that.
And that's the thing with jiu-jitsu, like your body movements. Obviously there's definitely a correlation in there, but there's a lot of things you can learn differently. You could take some jiu-jitsu and be able to implement it during wrestling to get out of certain things or do things. And you're like, wow, like, you know, obviously you just don't want to be in your back. That's the biggest thing. Well, that's, you don't have to be control the top, man. All you want. And there's certain things that you can do. That's legal in wrestling that's a jiu-jitsu move. You know what I mean? To control that top. So. Right.
And also in wrestling, it's good to be comfortable on your back.
Oh,
for sure. A lot of those guys, you know, if you're a jiu-jitsu guy and you're spending some time on your back, or like me all the time on their back, because I seem like that's all I was ever doing was being on my back defending.
Don't worry, Dan, I'm still there.
But there's a benefit to being comfortable down there. You don't panic. A lot of guys in wrestling, you know, young kids, they get on their back, they panic, then they get pinned, you know? So being comfortable in that, yeah, I just think it's great.
Yeah. But you make mistakes, you know what I mean? Because you panic, it's anything, any sport, you get that panic motion instantly instead of just, hey, let's bring it down. Let's calm it down. Try to get into my own here and just relax, right. You know? And I mean, heck, in jiu-jitsu, I had that time, you know, you get heavy guys on top of you and there's a panic. You're like, oh, I'm trying to get out of here. I'm getting crushed right now. And then you end up getting submitted because you're just panicking, trying to get away out. And then you get caught in something. It's like, yep. I mean,
the more time you spend in that zone, the more comfortable you get.
The more comfortable. Yeah. It's just like, I'm not going to die here.
Right. Get comfortable being uncomfortable, right?
Exactly. 100%. Wow. That's awesome, dude. We got you for an hour, brother. Took an hour of your life away.
Yeah. Well, hey, I enjoyed it, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. It was fun. We got to do this again.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime, man. If you need anything, promotion out, don't need anything in return, just you tell us what you need, you know, hook up, tell Trox, tell Chad, myself, whatever you need, we'll help. We'll do whatever we can do to, you know, promote things, speak about things, talk about whatever you got going on. And before we go, why don't you shout out whatever you want of how people can get to you, your website, whatever you want. And I'll have all that stuff in the show notes. That way people can click on it and they can support you guys and see what it's all about.
Ah, cool. I mean, the big one's just warpath55.com. Go to the website. You know, I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I think they're all just Google warpath55. It'll pop up. I think they all got different, you know, user tags or whatever.
Sure.
But
sure.
I'm pretty easy to find. But yeah, stop in, grab a t-shirt, do something like that. If you're a football coach looking for, you know, a good strength conditioning program that's been tested and true, check out the course. It ain't cheap, but you know, good stuff.
Good stuff isn't cheap.
Good stuff isn't cheap. Good stuff isn't cheap. And but it's definitely be worth your money. But other than that, yeah, you know, we're just out here trying to get people strong, and you know, like you said, trying to have an impact, trying to help people do what they want to do and have the strength and the confidence and the happiness of life of doing hard work and getting, you know, the feeling of doing something difficult for the sake of doing something difficult, like lifting weights or doing jiu-jitsu or whatever it is that you want to do.
Yeah, man.
That's what's important to me. So
good.
But
walk away being accomplished. You know what I mean? Like walk away being like, you know what? I accomplished something. Like that was hard. I didn't think I could ever do that. And you did it, you know? So Seek Stu and Warpath out, guys. Appreciate everyone out there listening. Chad, you got anything for Stu?
No, thanks for coming, man. Thanks for talking to us. And, you know, we'll do it again. Maybe we can do something like at the weight room sometime or something, like a live podcast or something, Terry. I don't know.
Yeah,
that'd
be sweet.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. I'm all about great information being pushed to people. You know what I mean? And I love to have... You know, you're part of the circle now, Stu. I love I tell people all the time, I'm like, there are people that sit at your table and I want great people who challenge me, who care about me, but they're not going to back down and they're going to always be there, push. You know, that's the type of people you should always surround yourself with. Good coaches, good people like that, because it's only going to lift you better in your life. So
sure. Love it, man. Yeah. Love it.
All right, my man. Well, God bless you and your family and everything that you're doing. Keep up the great work. Keep pushing those kids. Keep coaching those kids up, keep giving them great information, and just keep after it, brother. And we'll talk again.
Yes, sir. We'll stay on that warpath.
Yes, stay on the warpath for sure. All right.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks, everyone, brother. Out
there. Appreciate you guys. Until next week, we'll see ya
later on.
See you.